Coming up on Verse Chorus Verse, part one of our 37-part series on the albums of 1994. That's next.
That's conservative, too, I think.
Conservative. Welcome to episode 174, and who knows, probably I'd be surprised if it's not 175 as well. I am DL. With me is Evil. This is entirely your fault, Jimmy. Evil, how are you?
Proud of myself for this.
You should be.
I'm doing good. I'm a week out of wisdom tooth removal, so that's fun.
Yeah, you sound normal. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. We should have recorded this last week. That would have been super fun.
Well, I don't know if you remember or not, but you did send me a little bit of content.
You did,
and I'm keeping it for a rainy day.
Hey, I put that in to share with the world because, you know, warts and all.
We've got some possible evil content upcoming that I think will be good. Some nice, 45-second, the evil wisdom videos.
Yes.
I think you're all ready. You're all ready for that soon. 2024, we're covering 1994. Evil was all last year. Hey, we should just cover 1994 next year. And I was all, fuck, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And now we're paying for it. Not really, because my God, the music we've just had to listen to, right?
It's a grind.
It's studying this year is so fucking different.
It is very,
it's different. So different.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, which can I start studying now for the next episode, please?
Exactly. Like
It's fun. We're very lucky. Tonight we're covering 1994, the first quarter. Quarter one. You'd think, man, okay, they're going to talk about four or five out. Nope. There's so many goddamn albums. First quarter of the year, Evil. Were you overwhelmed? Was it fun? Oh, yes.
It's tricky. No, number one, I don't think any of the four quarters have any duds in them. Well, okay.
Nope.
Yes, there are duds. But each quarter has like some rock star albums, like some fucking...
There is not a dud of a quarter.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. And you did it so much better than I. The tricky thing...
Well, I had time to think while you were talking.
Yeah, well, yeah,
just let me, I cheated.
Let me stumble and stutter over my words, and that allows you to sound smarter than me. That's our strategy.
That's what podcasting is for.
Right?
Yeah!
The tricky thing is putting Q1 music in context of Q1. So I think of all of the music from 94 in context of not just 94, but probably bleeding over into 95 and maybe a little bit, you know, leading up to 94. That was the challenge for me, was putting boundaries on Q1 in terms of like what was going on in the world, how relevant were these songs and albums in this time frame. So that might get a little loose
in
how we talk about things. Because I some of these albums I didn't really get into until later in that year.
As far as context of the world, I didn't do that. Mm. I just thought of all of 1994.
Okay.
So you were smarter than me in that regard, because now I'm thinking, fuck, what am I going to do the next seven episodes? But I'm not too worried about it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to talk about fucking music.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, we could do three parts easy tonight on just talking about the music that came out in January, February, and March of 1994. It's insane.
Right. Dude.
I don't know if it's the best quarter, which is fucking nuts with the albums that came out. Ugh.
Right?
I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do it. This has been really fun. The podcast this year is fun. We're working out the kinks on the video. Some of them are awesome. Some of them are a little rough, but we're getting there, people. We're definitely getting there. Do we get to the most important part of the day?
I think.
Evil. It is, what is it? 2 o'clock your time?
Ish. Yep.
I mean, that seems like cocktail hour to me.
It was cocktail hour this morning for me.
you did some rum, what do you call your morning?
Boozy morning
what
coffee.
What do you call it? boozy morning coffee.
Yeah. Well,
but what do you have now?
Oh, I have a delicious drink. Any guesses? I sent you a photo, so you probably have an idea.
I can't guess because I know what it is. Yeah.
It's an old fashioned, but the asterisk is it's a Lafroy 10 old fashioned because this year deserves over the top bougie drinks, in my opinion. And I had one of these.
It really does.
It really does. It really does. I had one of these, I don't know, maybe a week or so ago. It was pre-surgery, but I had one of these and I'm like, God damn, that's good. It's delicious. Yeah. I have made cocktails with Lafroig Select before. Like I made a Rob Roy with Lafroig Select because it's kind of their budget and that's tasty. And I've used Lafroig 10 to like season cocktails, but I've never done it old fashioned before.
How many ounces of the Lafroig do you put in?
3. I make a 1.5.
That's a lot.
I'm
proud of you.
I don't want to have to pause and go refill.
Oh, so it's like it's not a double. Is your single a 2 ounce?
Yes.
When you pour?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
This is.
So you made a double. That's very smart.
I do that. Like Megan likes an old fashioned. She likes 1.5 cocktails. That's like her. I'm going to drink for the night. I'm going to have 1.5 cocktails. So I've kind of learned to make a 1.5 when she asks for an old fashioned or a Manhattan or a sidecar, which the math on the sidecar is harder, but you know, I make it work.
Well, you just make 2 and you just chug the half.
Drink a quarter of it.
Yes. Yeah. So this is kind of fun. And I guess it's a little fancy just because, so this is I really just wanted to use my new cocktail glass.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, these are fun. There's a green one and then like a charcoal gray one, which are badass.
Nice.
I haven't taken the tag off of it yet. Sweet. That's lazy.
That's just classy.
Yeah, I don't, what you might actually know, there might be a name for this already. Kind of like a play on a gin fizz, but it's grapefruit, it's lemon, ginger, and honey.
Ooh.
With gin.
Bleh.
So it's kind of like a gin fizz. It's kind of like a, I don't know. It's like, it's
gin Paloma mule.
Exactly. Yes. I guess. Yeah. Like a mule press or something. Cause there's actual ginger pressed in it. But man, are you a ginger guy?
In certain things and in
small, not redheads in your cocktails,
small quantity. That's funny. My mom's name is Ginger. So absolutely not in that context. I am not a Greek tragedy.
I did not know your mom's name. That's crazy.
Yeah. And
I know.
She was married 3 times. Her final husband, his last name was Sweet. So her name is Ginger Sweet.
Oh, no. That's a good name. That's cute.
She's a super nice lady. I'm so okay, it fits.
Hey, let's name the drink after Evil's mom. I'm having a ginger sweet. That's phrasing, amazing. But
yes. we're still doing phrasing, right?
Yeah. Oh, good. We will always be doing phrasing.
Yes.
Danger zone. We're in the danger zone. It's 1994, motherfuckers. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Back 1994. Let's go over what happened in 94.
Oh my God.
A little bit of context. Not much, right?
No.
It's funny.
A down year.
You think, why was there so much? Yeah, why was there so much good music? Why was there so much passion? Turns out some shit happened.
A little bit.
Cowboys beat my Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills are handled their 4th Super Bowl loss in a row. It's an embarrassing time to be a Buffalo Bills fan. Amazon was founded in 94.
Wow.
That's crazy,
that
right?
That is crazy.
Yeah. Too much else. What?
Have you seen the photo of him in his garage with his desk made out of a fucking door?
Yeah. It's pretty rad.
Books online,
honestly.
And everyone's like, you're crazy. That's not going to
turn
into
loser.
Anything.
Nope.
He's like, fooled you.
Yep. Now it's penis rockets into space. He did it. Tupac is shot a bunch of times.
Yep.
Not by Puff Daddy. Okay. Kurt Cobain. He dead.
He was shot once. Also not by Puff Daddy.
We don't think. Well, we don't know. Allegedly. We don't know. Yeah. Speaking of allegedly, Simpson doesn't murder anybody. Doesn't murder anybody. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald, right?
Yeah, rest. Rip, Norm. I just saw a meme.
That's my lucky stabbing cap.
Yeah, I just saw a meme. It was a news clip of the announcement of OJ being diagnosed with prostate cancer, and someone retweeted it, and they plugged in a picture of Norm on Weekend Update smiling above him. Ouch. Ouch.
Oh, man. Ooh, Twitter world. Pretty good stuff. How many giant news stories could we have in 1 year?
Dude.
I was 12 at this time, and I very, very vividly remember where I was when Kurt died and where I was when the fucking Simpson chase was happening. Yep. And yep. I mean, fuck, man.
I remember getting I was at a track meet, and I remember getting on the bus, and people were like sitting on it, just like silent. I'm like, what happened? And that's when I found out that Kurt Cobain killed himself.
We'll talk about that at some point this year.
Maybe.
Now's not the time. No. Huge year for movies too. Lion King is number one grossing, followed closely by Forrest Gump. True Lies, little Tom Arnold with your Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then super sexy Jamie Lee Curtis. The Mask.
Mask. Yeah,
Jim Carrey. An underrated movie.
Jim Carrey.
Speaking of speaking of underrated, maybe not The Mask, but I mean this is peak Jim Carrey.
Yes.
This is when he's
height of power.
Fucking. Yeah. Same year he comes out with Dumb and Dumber. I mean,
it's one of my favorites of all time.
Dumb and Dumber, possibly one of the most underrated soundtracks of all time.
Right?
That soundtrack is fucking brilliant. You know who song number one is on that soundtrack, Evil?
Is it Crash Test Dummies?
Yeah. Fucking A+ for the winner.
Peter Pumpkinhead, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's their remake of XTC's Peter Pumpkinhead. Wow. There Evil. You go. Hey, damn.
I've seen that movie so many times. I love it.
That movie's amazing. Speed, Interview with the Vampire, and The Crow. All these came out in 94. A lot of fucking stuff. Before we start talking about music, this is I don't know how we're going to do this, Evil. Because I feel like we already know? Maybe we don't already know the answer. We're going to guess each other's favorite album of the first quarter of 1994. And we have to talk to each other before these to figure stuff out. You know, we collectively decide the top 10 albums of the quarter, things like that. So I feel like it's cheating. But then right as I said that, I was like, you know, I could be wrong, but I am going to just go the easy route. And I'm going to say Super Unknown is yours.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good guess. Do I go the easy route with you?
It's up to you. I mean, the points don't matter. What is it? The score?
Well, no one wins. I think I'm going to do it because I think it frames this entire episode.
Love it.
I'm going to say it's The Downward Spiral because this episode is really kind of a head to head of those two albums.
I think you are absolutely right. Now that you say it, it's important that you pick The Downward Spiral for me. That is a very good answer. So we need to talk about the beginning of 1994. Like you heard what the news was. It's obvious why there was so much sentiment there. But Evil, do you have any quick thoughts? Do you have any theories? What are your thoughts on the beginning of 94? Where do you think this fucking came from? I'm not 93 wasn't a bad year, but it was not this. Not at all.
No.
What do you think happened?
To like create this era of this like wild fucking cross section of music. This is the peak, I guess, of the early 90s grunge. I hate that word, but like the early 90s era. It's a turning point. It's kind of the beginning of the radio takeover by the Clear Channels and those as well.
I didn't even, you're right.
That we talked about that early in the 1997 episode. That's when it really hit. But this was the beginning of that this year. I think Cobain's death was honestly, a lot of the music would have already been in, the ball would have been rolling to make a lot of the music already. I think that just framed it differently. Like,
I agree.
You know,
and I didn't even, you know, you saying that makes me think that one of the reasons that that started to work like that is because we were at a time now where it wasn't one specific genre that was in your face popular. And I'm talking about popular with on the radio and popular with critics.
Right.
You had metal, you had rock, you had hip hop was becoming huge. Mm-hmm. You had industrial was becoming like you had all these different, and that's kind of, I think that that's really fed into the, you know, well, we've got this channel for this and we're going to play these seven songs all day and people are going to listen. Woohoo.
Right.
I think you're right.
I think it was the crest of the end of this giant wave of music that had come before. Like, I mean, the Black Album was still selling. Like, Metallica was still fucking, they were on top. They were probably one of the biggest bands at this point in time, tour-wise. And then the wave of, like, the grunge bands, like, they had sort of, I don't want to say run their course, but those were bands who were not set up to be big bands psychologically. And they were thrust into this, like, global phenomenon, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
We all know how it kind of wound up. Like
they either died or they faded away.
They all
hated it.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird because they hated it, but they didn't hate it. And you know, it's funny because when you watch interviews with, you know, Alice in Chains or the Kurt Cobains of the world, you can see like he likes being famous.
Mm-hmm.
He likes being the guy talked to that gets to make the witty comment and gets to, you know, bash on Madonna for selling her concert tickets for too much and shit like that. Like you can tell he's into that. But
I think they wanted to be really successful underground musicians is what they wanted to be. They wanted to be the Pixies. I mean, Kurt obviously wanted to be the Pixies, but I think all of those bands, that's kind of what their like vision of making it would have been. What they didn't calculate was the capitalist marketing engine creating this thing called grunge, which was essentially a buzzword used to sell shit, to sell flannel.
Absolutely.
And to sell, you know, a culture that MTV like is so predatory on musical movements. They did it to like hair bands. They did it to, you know, stuff afterward. I don't think they wanted to be part of a thing called grunge.
Hell no.
No.
No. Speaking of what you're saying, you're absolutely right, because this was the year that not just Cobain, but all of them were saying that, multiple interviews, Eddie Vedder has said it, Cobain, or not Cobain, obviously, but, you know, Chris and Dave have both said it. A bunch of, Billy Corgan has said it, that this was the time. You know, when Cobain died, the year, no, you know what it is that it earmarks it for a lot of people is Nirvana's Unplugged.
Yeah.
Is at that exact time, that is when all of a sudden they started seeing all these fucking people that they wrote the songs like Rape Me about, or songs like, you know, all these guys that would have bullied the shit out of me back in high school. They're at my concerts now.
Right.
And they did not like that very much. I think it was the pinnacle, but it's their own fault, because it was the pinnacle of the shit because of how fucking good they had become.
Yeah.
Nirvana Unplugged, that's one of the most masterful performances that you will ever see live.
Mm-hmm.
It totally is. You have fucking Nine Inch Nails had moved from Pretty Hate Machine, which was fucking amazing, to Downward Spiral. That's a goddamn masterpiece. Soundgarden moved from Bad Motor Finger, amazing album, to Super Unknown, a goddamn masterpiece. Dirt, Alice in Chains, went to Jar of Flies, which was a completely different fucking beast.
Right. Yep.
That I don't know if people were ready for. Prong was suddenly a thing. Prong was fucking amazing. Cake was suddenly a thing. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden you had all these bands that were weird and different and spinning off these other genres. Like there are no other bands like Prong. There are no other bands like Cake. All these fucking, there are no other bands like Our Lady Peace. Yeah. Like all these fucking weird bands came through and just started killing it.
I've said this a lot about the, like a category I just throw bands into, late 80s, early 90s, kind of heavier, in quotes, alternative. They're just like the N equal, they're the N of one bands. There's no nothing like them. Like Chili Peppers, I threw in there. Yes. Faith No More.
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses. There's bands that are like maybe adjacent to a scene, but not really. They're not the stereotypical archetype for any scene. And if I look at 94 broadly, not just Q1, I am just like, there are so many different types of music that were popular.
Yeah.
And not just bands that were N of ones, but like genres that were very niche, but like shone through and became super popular. And Q1, as like a microcosm of that, has kind of a smaller version of that. But it's just crazy
how, it totally does,
how different all of the bands sound that were,
yes,
that were big and huge and selling albums. Like fucking Beck out of nowhere. Like who sounds like Beck? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all sold.
Yes.
Like you have Super Unknown coming out the same year as fucking, you know, Tori Amos is just killing it. Yeah. Like, and they're all popular.
Yes.
They're like, everybody loves all these people. It's so weird because God damn, man, I don't know what it's been. Maybe I'm just older now. Like over the last 2 weeks, I've aged incredibly, I guess, but I've had so many conversations over the last couple weeks with people that write in, which is my favorite. Oh, I did an interview that'll come out soon. Everybody, I've had all these conversations about how I know it's old fucking white dude, but music fucking sucks now. It fucking sucks. And when you start studying 1994,
dude,
there's a certain depression that sets in. I think, what did you fucking text me last night? When I woke up this morning, the first thing I see is Evil, like, I miss fucking good rock music.
Yes. Like they're all like current rock music all sounds the fucking same. Let me walk that back. The music that is like promoted broadly is all sounds this, it follows this formula sonically. It all sounds very similar. It's just, it's like you, to get to that level, you have to, you know, use a certain set of building blocks musically. You have to look a certain way. You have to sound a certain way. You have to dress a certain way, act a certain way. And it's like, there's no room for novelty or experimentation or all of the things that you have to like put into a soup to equal genius, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And bands have to try. They have to, like, you have to give them the opportunity to fail in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
Because most of the time it does. Most bands that try to be successful fail. So you let them experiment and try to find the new stuff. And in 94, it was allowed. It was still allowed. And today it's,
that's a really good point. And that's a really good way to, you know, a lot of these, the musicians nowadays, like it's true. You don't really have a chance to be good because there's only fucking 15 of them that are getting paid.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, when I say the music fucking sucks, I'm not like, there's great music everywhere.
Absolutely.
You look at the albums that we talk about in our finales every year, the Rosalias and Jockstrap and fucking what was the duo last year, that the two duos that we fucking love, the Doritos and Fritos.
Oh,
why am I
100
fucking
Gex, 100 Gex,
100 Gex. Like all there's great
Wet Leg
music out there.
I mean,
still.
there's fucking
Wet
Leg's great.
But and there were labels and there was a shit ton of money and it was being spread out to a bunch of bands.
Yeah.
And now that's not happening anymore.
There's a number of reasons why, and we could go into we've talked about some of them. We can go into it. The point of this conversation is like, this was a very special era where everything came together for music just to be fucking awesome. And when I say music, I mean the music industry, like the broader, like the Billboard top 200 albums were amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it wasn't the same two people that were given projects. And I think that helped a lot too. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays, if it's not fucking Antonoff or, my mind is fucked. Who's the bearded producer that gets everything ever?
Rick Rubin.
Thank you. If it's not one of those two, nobody's going to buy it. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm talking about the industry. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about, you know, it's not going to have any money behind it.
Yeah.
And back then you had people, you know, Michael Beinhorn, the producer of Soundgarden, it's super unknown. That dude had no business getting that album. This was an album that, and I don't want to talk too much about Super Unknown because there's going to be a lot more on that in the future, but, he had no business getting that album. In fact, when he went to go talk to Soundgarden, they were in talks with Rick Rubin at that time.
Oh, whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is what we were dealing with back then.
Yeah.
Where somebody like Soundgarden, who was set to make what the whole industry knew was going to be a massive album, they were like, let's go with this guy that used to work with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I like this guy. That would never happen nowadays. It would never happen.
Yeah, right?
Stupid idiots.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. So I want to turn something over to you a little bit because I fully admit that this is kind of out of my scope. Mm-hmm. And I did listen to the album. Some of them I really liked. Some of them I didn't. But I want to ask you about the influence, because I did not realize how influential these bands were, of the heavier stuff from this year. The two specific bands are King's X and Stabbing Westward.
Okay.
I didn't realize that I knew Stabbing Westward had some really good music. I knew King's X was kind of, it's one of those bands that you hear, somebody that's really knowledgeable will mention King's X every now and then. But I think that's much more your alley. So what was it about bands like that that were so fucking special?
Well, they fall into exactly what we were talking about. They're in an N equals one kind of band.
Okay.
King's X, this was probably their most, Dogman was probably their most commercially successful album. I think it was. Like, it got a lot of radio play.
Was it their first album?
No.
I don't think
no.
It wasn't, was it?
It no. wasn't, no. But it got radio play on modern rock radio at that time. I don't know that they got radio play afterwards. So that might be a piece of it. Stabbing Westward, this album, I wasn't as familiar with this one as I was their next album, cause it had like kind of the big radio hit on it. But they're very Nine Inch Nails-y. This is like that industrial sound kind of having a space to play finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think ears were just changing. People were looking for what's new, what's next, we as like music listeners used to crave novelty and what's different, new, what's
never heard anything like that.
Yep. Yeah. And those two bands, I mean, I'm a big King's X fan, so I'm very partial to them. I think they're incredible musicians and
I think you've met after researching this, I kind of remember, I think you've mentioned them a couple times on the pod.
Yeah. They're a tremendous band. Ty Tabor's guitar playing it's like chef's kiss. It's just so good. And they have such a unique sound. That I love them. I love them. And they've been around for a while and tons of really good albums. They're a band, like if you're a musician or someone who's really into music, who likes that heavier, not necessarily metal, but you just like heavier rock, I highly suggest checking them out if you haven't before.
I think you were still kind of alt rock fan, but you were starting to get a little more metal.
Yeah, this is pre Evil Jimmy by a few years, pre-evil as we say.
yes.
So yeah, I was a hard rock guy. You know, I grew up kind of listening to the 80s staples, the AC/DC, wait for Van Halen.
There it is.
Yeah, ZZ Top. A little bit of the heavier stuff. I was kind of into Judas Priest and Iron Maiden because of my brother at that point, but not huge fan yet. Obviously.
I got to tell you, I listened. So ZZ Top came out with an album this year, yes, called Antenna.
Right.
I listened to it this morning for about 10 seconds and I turned it off and I said, you know what? This is good. I love ZZ Top. Not my thing. I bet Evil loves this fucking album.
I do, because I don't think it's a great album. I like it because of nostalgia. I like it because I listened to this album when it came out.
Gotcha.
I was a fan of it then. I don't know. I can't say that it's aged well. I probably haven't listened to that in years. And there's a lot of music from this era that is that way.
Yeah.
You know, yep. But leading into this year, I'd kind of found bands like, number one, Megadeth. I was a big, big fan of Countdown to Extinction. That might be the single most influential band on my metal tastes. That was like a,
oh wow,
that steered me, okay, towards metal. And then also, I was a Saigon Kick fan.
Fuck, dude. You know what? I'd have to think about it long and hard. That's what she said. But this Megadeth might be this. That might be what got me into metal too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, like, I remember, so my dad used to work at a cabinet shop, and I'd go in with him and, you know, get to ride the forklift around and, you know, all that great shit.
That's awesome.
And I this was the couple of Megadeth albums that came out around this, yeah, time. They would blast it, yeah, every fucking day. Dude. And I loved that shit.
Yeah. Cause I mean, everybody liked Metallica at this point. They were huge, yep, world, yep, tours, enormous. But if you liked Megadeth, you were like more of a cool, cool kid. Yeah. They were, you know, still one of the biggest of the thrash bands and still kind of crossing over a little bit. I mean, fuck, like Countdown to Extinction, those Symphony of Destruction was played on MTV. Come on. And it, not just on Headbangers Ball. So it had crossed over somewhat,
big time.
Now,
well, those are poppy fucking metal songs.
Absolutely.
Dude.
Absolutely.
Like Symphony of Destruction is hooky as shit, man. That, yeah, song is so hooky.
Or Sweaty, yeah, Bullets. Come on. Hello, me. Me.
Yeah.
Me. That shit's, yeah, so good. That's so listenable.
Or what the song from the album this year, the Toot-a-Lamone or whatever.
Yep.
Like, come on, man. We shouldn't. We're not there yet. We're fucking up.
If Megadeth was like swayed me in the direction towards metal, there is one album in this quarter that sent me over the top, and that's Prongs Cleansing. That was like, I think, so pivotal to my listening, like music listening, and going back to that. I need more. I need something new. I need something different. That kind of tuned my ear towards heavier music because it's still pop. It's still kind of, I mean, the song, yes, structures they're short. Yeah. They're snappy. Snap your finger. Snap your necky. Sorry about that.
So let me say this.
Yeah.
I will say this. Whenever we talk about what albums we're going to do, so every year we do the top 10 albums together,
mm-hmm,
where we decide what the top 10 best out, not our favorites, best albums of that year are. And Evil being Evil always throws in like 4 to 5 metal albums, which we can't fucking do. We can't put 4 metal albums on our best of the year unless it's legit. Unless it's, you know, unless it's fucking, right. There's a couple years where that's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
But there's always one or two that I'm like, yes, that does have to be on the list. And I think Prongs from this year is the most, yes, this metal album deserves it. Like, besides, you know, like Master of Puppets, that,
right,
I think was number,
that was
one,
number one
on our list from that.
Six.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides shit like that.
Yeah.
But Prongs Cleansing, that is experimentational. It's intense. It's bluesy. It's fucking everything, dude.
It is so,
it's a great
fucking
album.
Good. And it got radio play. It was on whatever.
Did it?
Well, Power 100 or
like pirate radio,
yeah,
or
whatever that,
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
that's what I listened to, man. That was the station, yeah, I listened to. It's not on. It's not.
That was back when a DJ could say, "Hey, you know what I heard? I heard this weird fucking band. I'm gonna play them for you."
Yeah,
that was. You could still do that back
I think
then.
They may have even been on MTV here and there.
Nice.
Dude, it's so fucking good. Just to frame like me this year, I think of 94 in like three different seasons for me. And that's like end of high school, summer, beginning of college. And those are very significant.
Goddamn.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I started listening to Prong at the end of high school era. And I remember going to college and meeting like some dudes who were like into like real metal. Like they got me into like Sepultura and stuff like that. And I remember showing some of them like Prong and be like, hey, I'm really into this. And they're like, well, yeah, that album's cool. But their album a couple before Beg to Differ is just so much better. I'm like, this is what I hate about God damn you. I'm like, no, it's not. You're just trying to be fucking cool and knowledgeable. Yeah. And I'm done with it. Cleansing is so goddamn good. So
it's the same that in indie heads like me, I've dealt with my whole life. Yeah. Well, that Smith's album isn't it. You need the original blood. No, fuck you. Yes. If a song's good, it's good. You stupid idiots. Like, yeah, the Black album's good. Shut the fuck up.
Fuck you guys. Yeah. God damn it. That's a great album. Yeah. We have shit on Metallica for recent things that they've done. But the goddamn Black album, one of the best albums ever.
It's amazing.
We put Master of Puppets as the number one album of 1986. If it's good, it's fucking good. It's undeniably good. I want to talk of one other metal album on here too. If Prong is what got me, like kind of opened me up for the opportunities of listening to heavier stuff, Far Beyond Driven, like just kicked the fucking door down.
So shocked that you started talking about Pantera. Well, that's so weird.
And I'm going to, this might surprise you. I don't think it's as good of an album as Cleansing. And it's definitely not the best Pantera album. Okay. I think it has some of the best songs. I'm Broken, 5 Minutes Alone.
Yeah.
Those are even their cover of Planet Caravan is like, holy shit, is this Pantera? What? It is.
Pantera is a tough one for me because Dimebag Darrell is he's the shit. He's the total shit. You know what happened with Pantera is me growing up, all of the fucking assholes listen to Pantera. That was the problem. For some reason, all of the and let me qualify that. Pantera was not like that. Dimebag Darrell was one of the coolest fucking guys that ever lived.
Yeah.
They were nothing like that. But the people that fucking listened to them were all these. I was in Idaho, and the ones that listened to Pantera were the ones that were the fucking redneck shaved head, like you knew that they had a swastika tattooed somewhere on their fucking body. Mm-hmm. Guys. And I might have to edit that out. I don't know. But
true. Number one, I was 17 in this era. I was already like not bald, but I was losing my hair pretty rapidly. And at some point,
like where this is going,
I had to make the decision to like shave it. Because otherwise I'm going to look like a fucking moron. And, right? And it was not accepted to have a shaved head because you were one of those dudes if you were that. And there's a very specific moment where I was...
You grew up in a place in Idaho where... Like, Evil grew up in a place... For those of you that don't know, Evil grew up in a place where, there could very well have been... fucking skinheads living next door to you in a lot of the places.
And after I did shave my head, there were moments where I would catch people looking at me in public, like sizing me up. Here's the thing. I don't think people realize how fucking big they were at this time. That album is the heaviest album ever to be at the very top of the Billboard top 200 album sales. It debuted at number one.
God damn, really?
Yes. Heaviest album to top that chart by fucking miles. But I get what you're saying about it's like the Braveheart, Edward Longshanks. The problem with Scotland, it's full of Scots. That's Pantera.
Too many Scots.
Probably with Pantera, it's full of Pantera fans.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's so fucking good. Yeah, I don't have too much else to say before we get into awards and categories and things like that. The only other thing I want to touch on, and we'll do it more when we're talking about the album specific, is what's crazy is when you start to study 94 as a whole, starting with the albums from here, is how much I think that the beginning of this year influenced the end. Like within 5 or 6 months, sound changed because of some of the albums that came out. Like, you could tell that some bands are like, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. For a year to influence the same year, that's kind of fucking crazy. We haven't even fucking taken a break. My God. We got to take a fucking break. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. We're going to start with some awards and categories, and this is going to be a two-parter. So we're going to start with some awards and categories. I don't know when I'll end it, but I am going to end it at some point, and we'll continue it for you all on Thursday.
I feel like there's so much more that we could add to it as we go through this, like, because...
There really is.
Yeah.
I think there's about 30 albums we haven't brought up yet. let's go to breakout... album slash artist of the year, Evil. Who do you got?
I think Beck, Mellow Gold, is.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because in this era, in this quarter, I remember that song being everywhere. It was like he was shot out of a cannon, and then just everywhere. Yeah. With like, Loser was all over MTV. You old enough to remember having Channel One played in school?
No.
This happened when I was in high school. They put televisions in all of the classrooms, and at the very, like, right before your first class started, your period one, they played this thing called Channel One, and it was like, who knows, some sort of fucking government mind control over the masses. But part of that, I for some reason, I have a mental... image of that tying directly into us playing Beck, because my first period class as a junior and senior was advanced physical conditioning. Haha, real funny, right? Right.
Seriously?
Yeah. So that was
what
that,
the f-
what? So we would play music because we were lifting weights, man. What are you talking about? What's wrong with you?
Oh no, that actually, you were like football wrestler guy, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And the coach who was the athletic director, I was like assistant athletic director those 2 years, and heavily influential mentor on me being into strength and conditioning the rest of my life. But I remember being in that class watching Channel One and then turning on the radio so we could start our whatever training we were doing that day. And Beck would play all the fucking time in there.
Really?
In the spring of 1994.
That very much surprises me, because it does not seem like a coach. I feel like a coach would hear the song Loser and be like, turn that shit off.
No, he was super cool. He let us listen to what we wanted to listen to.
There's like 12 answers to this question.
I agree.
I was gonna say I took the easy way out. I'm not so sure I did. I think there's a shit ton of easy way outs. I said Green Day. Fucking Dookie. Like,
oh yeah,
it's, I mean, Dookie came out and
God, yeah,
fucking Basket Case on Longview played
fuck
every
right.
hour on the hour.
So like,
I don't think I knew a kid that didn't have Dookie. I don't think I did.
That's a great answer. And here is one of those things where I associate them more with the fall of the year.
Oh, I thought you were just saying I associate them more with their fall. Like, that, I associate that, them more from when they started also fucking that. Suck ass.
No. oh, God.
Oh, that's spectacular.
Have I sent you pictures of them recently where it says that it looks like the Golden Girls? It's so funny.
No. Oh, yes. You did. Oh, it's amazing. I love it. Height of Power.
That's a great answer.
I know. Height of Power. So I'm going to go first. I feel like some of these are hot takes, but Height of Power for any band, and this isn't a clickbait thing. I really thought about this, but I am going to say Nirvana. Kurt Cobain died, they solidified their space as an immortal band, as they would forever be like one of the top five bands of all time mm-hmm. when he died. That was it. Because they had their discography. They knew what they were. They did Unplugged, and that was it. And then Kurt Cobain kills himself. It's one of the biggest stories of someone doing something like that ever. People are, you know, bawling for a fucking year. And yeah, and that was that. So I know it's weird because, you know, Nevermind came out years ago, but I'm going Nirvana. I think this is when they were immortalized.
That's so good. Fuck. I'm going to amend my pick, because I was waffling between the two albums that we talked about at the start of the episode, who we picked favorites.
Okay.
Soundgarden or Nine Inch Nails. I'm gonna sway towards Soundgarden, and I'm gonna expand it to just say the grunge bands. This was the height of the grunge band's power, because you could put Alice in Chains in there just as easily. You could put Pearl Jam in there just as easily.
Here's the thing: you have the right answer. That is the right answer, because I'll say it again for people. I was 12 and I fucking remember it. Soundgarden. Whatever Soundgarden was about to come out with was going to be massive.
Yep.
Like everybody just knew that band, whatever they came out with, they were it now.
Yep.
It was all about them. Yep. So you're totally right. That this was their, they could have done anything at this point.
And they did. They did it well.
Thank God. Dude. Thank God they didn't just fucking write it in, man.
Yeah.
Thank God. Hey, what albums have aged well, or what albums have aged poorly, Evil?
I have an answer for poorly that isn't really an answer for poorly, but it's also something I'm going to talk about later. It's an album I want to talk about a little bit later, so I'm going to hold off on poorly.
Okay.
Aged well, so much of this is aged well that it's almost a joke. Like I still listen. Like I've got fucking Super Unknown back here. That has been one of the albums I've listened to the most my entire life.
Maybe me too.
Yeah. I think the Downward Spiral has aged very, very well.
Yeah.
I think I listened to Mellow Gold in its entirety for the first time in probably 15 years. It aged well. It doesn't sound dated to me. Which is weird. You would think it would. Loser does a little bit. I think it's just because it was so big in that time that it's sort of like mentally cemented. But the rest of the album.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It doesn't sound dated like other albums do. I could pick so many of these and be like, these all, like Cleansing aged well for me.
Yep. It did.
And there's some stuff that didn't age well fuck, like Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer released albums this year.
They did.
You know what's funny?
You know what album aged poorly, and it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, go for it.
There's a little album that came out by a girl who was singing songs about how it didn't matter how old her lover was. Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. That album did not age well at all. That might win the all-time most aged poorly award of all time.
Oh my God.
And no album could have fucking aged poorer than that one. That's my answer.
Oof. But to bring it back to center a little bit, there are albums that I don't think necessarily aged poorly, but they definitely sound like they're from that time. And the Meat Puppets album, that is an album from that time.
Good call. You
know, it's
very
a great good album. I don't think it aged it poorly is. At all, but it's definitely a time capsule.
I completely agree. That's a really good answer. Listening to at the time versus now, the ones that I listen to all the time, actually it's kind of funny. So Dookie, first of all, I listened to that probably every day in 1994. Like I listened to that all the fuck fucking time. And the other one that I don't listen to much now that struck me as odd, because it's the lighter part of them, and you think as you get older, sometimes you want the calmer stuff, but I do not ever listen to Jar of Flies. And that album's incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
And I listened to it all the fucking time back then. Same. Probably, you know, Alice in Chains, they've got an album out. I'm going to listen to it and listen to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't listen to either of those albums that much anymore. Now, Jar of Flies just got reissued and it's coming in March, so that's going to change.
Right, right.
What about you?
Stuff that I listened to then versus now. Dookie, probably at the top of that list. Like I said, it was later in the year. I remember, like, in the fall, I listened to that quite a bit. It was a huge album that year. Far Beyond Driven, I listened to more back then than I do now. I'll listen to a couple of songs. Like, I'll listen to,
okay,
like, I'm Broken on repeat over and over again. Motley Crue's self-titled album, Motley Crue, the one they released John Corabi. I was a big fan of it. I still fucking like that album today. I don't listen to it a bunch, it's very nostalgic to me. I think it's good. The ZZ Top album, Antenna, I listened to back then. I haven't listened to that album in years. I still enjoy it.
That's cool that you listened to it a lot back then, though.
I did. I listened to it a ton. The Crow soundtrack.
Oh, God.
That was enormous back then. I never listened to it.
That's a good
anymore,
answer.
But that was...
That's a really good answer.
So big. That was everywhere that back then. Stuff that... I don't have a now versus then. I have a both. And that's Soundgarden and Cleansing. Those albums.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of Super Unknown and Cleansing in this episode for people.
Yep.
Which that's... Very justifiable. It is very justifiable.
Yeah.
Hidden gems, underrated albums, albums that took indie roles. So there was one album that I remember, but I don't remember it being that much of a thing. And going back, that Therapy album. I'll probably never listen to it again. But I listened to it studying for this, and I was like, fuck, man, this is fucking rad. What about you?
And Twins.
I can't believe you said the same fucking album. That's crazy.
So this is also in the did it age poorly category for me, and let me frame that. This is an album I wish I had grown up with, because I think I would absolutely love it today. I think
I very much understand that.
It has that just gnarly guitar tone from that era. It has elements of Faith No More, has elements of like Bay Area punk. You're the one that tipped me off to both of those. But I also hear like guitar lines that remind me of Tool. I hear a little bit of the Melvins in there. I hear Rollins Band in there. It is like the most fucking 1994 hard rock, alternative hard rock album I have ever heard. And I think I had listened to a couple of tracks before and then forgotten them promptly. And I'm like, I fucking wish I would have grown up with this album, because I know I would love it. I'm probably never going to listen to it a whole bunch. But it's great.
This is a harder one to answer because of how good the shit was here. But just back to you, is there anything that you saw while researching, like, you know, everywhere, this was a great album, this is a great album, that you really weren't, not necessarily aware of, but you hadn't really given it a chance?
Yes. And I skimmed it, and I'm like, good on you guys for liking this. It is so fucking not my thing. I'm not going to be like, you guys have terrible taste in music, because I think it's actually it's good music and a good album. It is not fucking
for me. I think it's probably good music.
It's Pavement. It's the Pavement album. I just fucking, that it good lacks call. Force, chum. But it's good music. This is the REM problem. I know it's good music. I just fucking don't like it.
So I'm the exact same with Pavement. I'm exact same. I think Pavement is crazy good. I get it. I get the indie movement back then, that they were so influential with that. Mm-hmm. It's just not my thing.
No.
It's really not. And I don't, it's one of those bands where I don't understand why people like them, but fuck, hey, everybody does.
Good on you. I mean,
yep.
I don't think it sucks. I'll let me be clear. I do not think it's bad music. I just don't like it. Those are different things.
You know, everybody, me included, I hadn't really given this album a chance at all. I don't even think I remembered that it had come out before, but everybody talks about the score by the Fugees. That is that's the album art. That's the shirt everybody wears. That's the album people talk about. Their first fucking album that came out this quarter is fucking amazing. It is so good. I listened to it I've taken a walk for lunch at work and I listened to it and I walked right back into my fucking office and bought the vinyl.
Wow.
It's so fucking good. I appreciate you amplifying it with the Owen Wilson. Wow.
Wow. You know what you turned me on to that I'm really happy you did, because I probably would not have gone back and listened to his album. It's the Ben Harper album from this year.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes. We're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
And in fact, I'm going to save this, because I don't know. This might be a long conversation. This might be an argument. I don't know. So we're going to end it here. VerseChorusFirst.com, at VerseChorusFirstPod. Check us out everywhere. We are everywhere. You cannot get away from us. Continuation of this episode is coming Thursday. So find out awards, categories. We're going to talk about our 5 favorite albums from here, and we're going to talk about our 10 best. Evil, I'll see you in 37 seconds.
Yeah.
It's been real.
You'll see me in how long it takes to pour a glass of Lafroig.
I love it. Everybody, we'll see you. Good night and good luck.